The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine, he did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're the type of person that does not care for weddings, then you really would not have liked wedding celebrations in the ancient world, because these are celebrations that would have lasted for days on end. Wasn't just one evening or one day. Now, the miracle or the sign that John calls in his gospel of Jesus, this is his first, and it might cause us to wonder why changing water into wine would be his first sign. Like, why not feeding someone or healing someone? Why this? The wedding feast is rich with theological imagery for us to ponder. It points us to a feast without end. And think about the way our passage begins in John's Gospel, on the third day. Chad Bird points out that in the Bible, big things tend to happen on the third day. And as Easter people, we can think of a big thing that happens on the third day. And Jesus here is essentially taking the responsibility of the bridegroom in dealing with the wine shortage and turning that water into wine, being the first of seven signs in John's gospel. It's pointing us to something even beyond this event and even beyond the event of cross and empty tomb. When we look in the Old Testament, we see the rich meaning and symbolism that wine has. Amos speaks of a day when the mountains shall drip with sweet wine and all the hills shall flow with it. Isaiah speaks of the feast for all peoples, a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of well-aged wine strained clear. But now let's go back to the start of the dilemma. As I said, in the ancient world, marriage celebrations would last for days. So running out of wine would be embarrassing, and it'd be considered inhospitable. Now, I'm sure we can all relate in life when we come to the realization that we don't have enough of something, or feel that we don't have enough of something at some point in our lives. I'm sure we can point to instances in the world where people are in dire need. They've run out of something that they need in order to survive. This is where Debbie Thomas invites us to take a closer look at Mary in our gospel lesson and how she truly models discipleship for us today. See, Mary notices something's wrong at this wedding celebration. And we could accurately, I think, speculate that she has a close relationship with the wedding party. She doesn't want them to be embarrassed or disgraced. And then what does Mary do? She takes the concern to Jesus. And she does it with persistence. You notice that she doesn't take no for an answer. As Thomas puts it, Mary essentially says to Jesus without saying it, "I don't care about your hour. there's a need here. We need to deal with it. And that's something that it's also worth noting, and that Thomas points out, is that Mary's instilling for us what it means to trust Jesus and to be obedient to Jesus. Mary says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Now, it took me, a couple minutes to read our gospel passage, but what these servants had to do was not a simple task. Envision a context, living in a context, with no running water. They got to fill these jars up with water. But Mary's fostering an environment for these servants to trust Jesus as they fill the jars, as they draw some of it out and take it to the chief steward. Now, in this instance, the problem is they have no wine. But what are the problems that you and I and people around the world are dealing with? Do we wonder where Christ is amid those circumstances? And do we wonder how Christ might use us amid those circumstances? Mary understands the impulse of God-given obedience. She has empathy to want to love and serve the other as God commands and desires for us to do in the world. However, the world is harsh. The world shrugs its shoulders and says, too bad. This is your party. You ran out of wine. Looks like it's a your problem, a you problem. No sense of neighbor, no sense of community, with the weaponizing of personal responsibility to excuse our neglect when someone is in need. But in Jesus, we have hospitality. We're invited to a feast without end. And if our world is our parish, how do we go out and notice those in need? And in noticing their need, turn to Jesus and trust that we would follow our Lord's guidance to minister to their needs. That the love that we share also serves as a sign of all that is to come in Christ. We should not tire of pointing out those concrete examples in our congregation's ministry that does just that. People have no food in our community. We give them something to eat, whether it be through the food pantry, our backpack ministry, or our Wednesday community meal. People around the world need warmth and comfort. We have quilts made and sent to people all around the world. The persistence in people getting our Stevens ministry underway is because people see a need for those who are hurting and are grieving. We enter these and other spaces trusting in our God to open others to trust how God might use us and them. So as a congregation, we must keep listening. We must keep noticing and then be open to the expansion of what we're doing in our ministry to fill the gaps of what people don't have, what people need that they've run out of. We must also discern this in our own lives, in our own walk with Christ, and how we will listen and tend to those needs of our neighbor in our daily pilgrimage of faith. As the body of Christ, can we hear the voice of Mary? Can we pay attention to the need of those hurting in the world, those lacking, those who are oppressed? If we're joyfully going to sing Mary's song in Advent and during evening prayer, then we must embody the implications of that song as well. For each week we gather on that third day, the day of resurrection, the Lord's Day, we gather for a celebration as we feast on word and sacrament. We're told that this is a foretaste of the feast to come. The bread of heaven, the cup of salvation, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that joins us in a celebration of heaven and earth with the church of every time and every place. But as the church on earth, we are heaven and earth people. And as heaven and earth people, we desire for the feast of love that we receive here from Jesus to be shared with everyone. We have a God of abundance, and it's in that abundance, it's in the experiencing of that feast without end, that we can be attentive to all those who do not have, that are lacking due to the sin and brokenness our world has caused. We want God to use us in ways so that we can lift up the lowly and fill the hungry with good things, as Mary sings in her song. Because when we gather on the third day, on the Lord's Day, we are reminded that we are a new creation. And we're being further nurtured in what it means to live in that new creation. We are sent forth from this place as the body of Christ. And we must be attentive as Mary is to the needs of our neighbor. And as obedient as those servants were in following the way of Jesus. For we too become signposts to the God who dwells with us and the feast of love that is here and it is to come for all people. Thanks be to God. Amen.